But that's exactly the setting of Psalm 45. In Psalm 45, we see the enemy, I quoted earlier already, that will be the time that the Antichrist will present himself as being God in the temple, the statue representing the Roman Emperor, and so on. That is the setting. And we are living in a world that's getting ready for that. Yes, we don't see physical thrones like that, but the verse that we read earlier in Isaiah 14 shows the efforts of the enemy. The enemy wants to be above God or compete with God, and that is humanism today. Humanism wants to be on the throne and does not allow God to be on the throne. Whereas what we see in this picture in Psalm 45, when that comes to a height, to a climax, this movement against God, then this remnant will draw the resources that they will need by recognizing there is one on the throne. And there is this wonderful person there on the throne, as we quoted from Hebrews also. They will recognize that he is God, but he is also there as man. They will recognize that despite the difficult times they will face and of disorder, and that man will be in control, they recognize he is in control. He is, his scepter is marked by righteousness and uprightness. And so this will be their comfort, that in those difficult days they will draw what they need from him to go through that difficult time. And beloved, that is exactly, and also for our young people, what we need to do. We need to draw our resources from the one who is on the throne. Just like Stephen did, we referred earlier to Stephen. He was being stoned to death by those enemies, but he drew his resources from the one on the throne, and he sustained him till the very end. And that is our comfort for today. Keep drawing our resources from him who is there on the throne, and he will see us through. But we need to recognize his supremacy, his authority, his greatness, and then he will lead us through.
It is really hard for anyone, what Brother Alfred is saying, how is that going to come to fruition in the end? But now, God still shows his majesty and his ability to control, even though man try to kind of not think about it. Let me just have you think of what happened 2 weeks ago. A little island, Iceland, in the middle of nowhere. A little ashes came out in the air, crippled the whole world for a week. That the mighty president of the United States, the mighty president of Russia, could not fly to go to attend the funeral of the president of Poland. Now, these people have the power to all of the air force in the world. The mighty God just have some ashes in the air. Now, and if man doesn't see that the Lord is in control, I don't know what else he would have to make to see them in control. But that's really what it is. He's in control. He's have complete authority, and we need to realize that all it did, it was some ashes. It wasn't a nuclear war or anything. It was just some ashes in the air out of a bankrupt little island in the middle of the north there. That's how our God works. And if we are not really seeing that and taking side with him and forget about ourselves, forget about the world around us, that humanism that we are talking about, here it is, very clear. And that's just a little thing. Wait till see what he will do after we are gone out of the scene.
Thinking of a verse in Nehu, in that effect, but I remember a few years ago when the tsunami hit in India, and when they were showing the rippling effect, and I once shared that in a ministry, how the Lord just reached down with his finger. You know how you go in a pond and you touch a finger, you see the ripples? That the Almighty God just reached down and touches, and this rippling effect, how much devastation by just a finger, how much more in a day when his full wrath is poured. But Nehu chapter 1, verse 3 says, "The Lord has his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet." Mm-hmm. That's our Lord.
Mm-hmm. One other challenge to this authority is not only the frontal in which it seeks to displace him, but another attack against it, and I would like to get some comment on this, is the doubting of his benevolence. And that is an even tougher subject, because when we ask the question, why does bad things happen to good people?
Mm-hmm.
Or why do we go through and why do we experience hardship and setbacks? One of the enemy's tactics is to raise doubt as to his sovereignty and his benevolence.
Mm-hmm.
And what we want to gain is, as he has established the throne, even those adversities are not worthy to be compared with what he's bringing in.
Mm-hmm.
And so what he tells us is, my throne is from everlasting to everlasting. It's I'm in control. I'm sovereignly in control. That even this setback is part of my purpose,
mm-hmm.
is part of my plan, and faith has to respond to that and say, I yield to your sovereign will.
Mm-hmm. That's Romans 8:28.